In this current political climate, some Pacific Islanders are going to great lengths to get their immigration papers in order. That is the subject of today's reality check. Honolulu Civil Beats reporter Anita Hofschneider is on the line today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So your story really talks about some crazy red tape.
Yeah, it is. It was quite interesting and surprising to learn about the lengths that people go to actually get some copies of these immigration documents. They, you know, as I wrote about, there are people who are actually crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, sometimes the U.S.-Canada border, all just to be able to get a copy of a document that they need in order to prove that they can work legally here in the U.S.
Yeah, so talk about this form.
Yeah, so it's called the I-94 form. And for those who don't know, for some listeners who may not know, the U.S. has treaties with governments in the Pacific, Palau, the Marshall Islands, and the Federated States of Micronesia, and their citizens are able to live and work in the U.S. indefinitely. And this is under strategic military agreements that give the U.S. control over much of the Western Pacific and kind of act as a buffer between Hawaii and North Korea or other potential adversaries. But although there are thousands who live in the U.S. legally, many can't get jobs, housing, a driver's license, or even health insurance without this one piece of paper, and it's an immigration document called the I-94. So prior to 2012, you would come into the U.S. and you would get this paper inserted into your passport. Because this community, they don't need visas, they don't need green cards to be here. It's legal for them to be here under these treaties. But they do need to have this particular form because many times employers will ask for it, or sometimes even landlords, especially if you are looking for subsidies, will ask for it. And if you need to get a driver's license, you definitely need to have this I-94. And there are a couple different problems with this. You know, on one hand, some people might just simply lose this. But on the other hand, not everyone receives it. If you arrived as an infant, you might not have your own I-94. Also, if you arrived post-2012, it would be entered into an online system. But now people are finding that the information is no longer accessible after 5 years. And so they arrived and they thought that their information was in this online system. But 5 years later, they suddenly can't access it.
That's
so
crazy.
For whatever reason, you know, people are finding that they, you know, they lost this key document and they're having a really, really hard time getting it replaced.
I mean, it just seems maddening that it's so difficult to obtain or, you know, to get a new copy if you need it.
Exactly. You know, it costs $445 to replace it. And, you know, that is typical for a lot of immigration documents. But, for example, a green card costs more than $500 to replace. But you can apply for a fee waiver if you are low income. And there is no fee waiver option for the I-94. It also takes several months to get. So if you are, you know, trying to get a job and they say, oh, we need to proof right away that you can be here legally, you might not have the luxury of waiting 5 months to get a replacement. You might need it within 2 weeks. And so that's where some people are finding that traveling is actually, you know, much quicker. And sometimes it's even cheaper if you are living in Texas or in Arizona. It's easier and quicker to drive down to the border, you know, cross the U.S.-Mexico border and come back in. You get the I-94 for free upon entry, and you don't have to worry about paying that $445 fee for something that, you know, you're waiting months for and maybe it won't ever come in.
So you're actually hearing stories of people that would just go driving long distances just to get it instantly.
Exactly. I mean, here in Hawaii, I actually talked to one Hawaii resident who wasn't, she wasn't able to work. She really wanted to work. She really wanted to actually even take a GED course. She, you know, her dream is to one day become a nurse, but she wasn't able to take the GED course or even get a job without this form. And she had arrived as a 9-year-old. And so, you know, she didn't know at 9 years old that this form was important. And, her family moved around a lot. It got lost. And so she ended up having a cousin in Texas who paid for her to fly to Dallas and then drove her all the way down to the border and then drove her back in order to get one. And on the mainland, I'm discovering this is actually quite common. In Arkansas, there's a group of a Marshallese advocacy group that actually plans monthly trips because the demand is so great. They make people sign liability forms, acknowledging the risks, like they might not be let back into the U.S. They make them say, reveal if they have any like criminal background that could potentially make them be stuck at the border. And so far, they haven't had any. They've had a couple of close calls, but they haven't had anybody not be able to get back in because they do this thorough check about whether your passport's up to date, and they make sure that you can go on this trip and help you get that I-94.
So it's kind of a caravan of a different type. But what does the Customs and Border Protection say about, you know, why this form is so expensive and so difficult to get?
You know, unfortunately, I was not able to get an interview with them. I did my best, but they didn't have anyone available, and they weren't really able to answer that question about the, you know, why there's no fee, as well as why there's a 5-year limit on accessing, you know, the form online. I think, you know, since that was implemented back in 2012, 2013, just now, 5 years later, people are finding, oh no, this form that was online is no longer there. I need to print it out and save it, and this is really important. Otherwise, I could be blocked from things. And, you know, I talked to local service providers here in Hawaii who say that this form and the difficulty of replacing it is directly correlates to increased homelessness here in Hawaii. You know, people aren't able to get jobs, and so then they aren't able to keep their housing. They become homeless, and then they're ineligible for certain subsidies because they don't have this. And it's just like this, you know, terrible confluence of all of these things. And so I think that it would actually quite help the situation here in Hawaii if it were easier for people to, you know, get replacements for these things, and if there were a fee waiver, and if it weren't so expensive.
Yeah, well, that was a real eye-opener. Thanks so much for that story.
Thank you for having me.
That was reporter Anita Hofschneider with today's Reality Check. To read her full story, visit civilbeat.org.